Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church. Come freely, go safely. Leave some of the happiness that you bring with you. It is good for us to be together and to be in worship today. I'm so glad that you're here. Now, I remind you, we've gathered, though, this morning to be in worship, to give thanks to our God for all of His goodness, and to come in humility and give Him our praise. And so let us begin our worship by joining together in a brief order for confession and forgiveness. Will you please rise? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for His sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, He gives power to become the children of God, and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gathering song is Rising, and we sing together.
From the rising of the sun till the sun goes down, let the name of the Lord be praised. From the rising of the sun till the sun goes down, let the name of the Lord be praised. We gather to worship, we come in the choir to sing your praise, lifting our voices, joining our hearts in this house today. People of God, in the power of God, for the kingdom of God, we sing. The rising of the sun, till the sun goes down, the name of the Lord be praised. From the rising of the sun till the sun goes down, the name of the Lord be praised. From the sky to the depths, from the east to the west, we give you praise.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Let us pray. God of all peoples, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us, as disciples of your Son, to love the world with compassion and constancy, that your name may be known throughout the earth, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first lesson this morning is from the 56th chapter of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be God.
Second lesson is from the 11th chapter of Romans. Paul writes, I ask then, as God rejected his people, by no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, They have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. This morning our Gospel comes to us from the Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 15th chapter. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Crumbs. When I see crumbs at my house, I usually, wipe them away, toss them away. You sweep crumbs out from the corners of your house. Learn that if you're moving, you shake the crumbs out of the toaster before you wrap it up and put it in the box, or else you'll be shaking the crumbs from the paper in the box that you moved it in. So there we are. With crumbs, I get rid of them. There isn't really much use that you can do with a few crumbs. They're kind of like dust or rubber bands, right? If you don't have too many, then what's the point? Now, if you have a lot of like graham cracker crumbs, you can make a pie crust. Or if you use a lot of, cornflake crumbs, you can bread chicken or fish or all kinds of good stuff like that. But it takes a lot of crumbs to make anything worthwhile. And just a few crumbs can really only just make a mess. Unless, of course, you're listening to Jesus and to the woman in this morning's gospel. You see, since last week's gospel story, Jesus and the disciples have finally made it to the other side of the lake. And there they met another large crowd of people for whom Jesus had compassion, for whom Jesus cared. Then right after hanging out with that crowd, the Pharisees come and want to pick a fight. Jesus has an argument with the Pharisees, who are always ready to make our relationship with God about things that we do or don't do, instead of about what God has already done for us. See, then Jesus takes a moment and he teaches the Pharisees, the crowds, the disciples, anyone willing to listen, even you and me, that what we eat doesn't make us unclean. Now I have to confess something. That part of Paul was one of those things that we could have read for today. But I came in the office on Thursday and told Lynn, we don't really need that one. And so she trimmed it off because, to save an extra half a sheet of paper or something, that's not a bad idea. I got home Thursday night and the Holy Spirit said, "We're going to talk about that." And by the time I got into the office on Friday morning, Lori was already printing the bulletins. So I'm going to tell you about it a little bit, all right? The fact that Jesus said to the Pharisees, to the disciples, to all of us, that what we eat won't make us unclean is a big deal. You see, the Pharisees taught what is known as mitzvot. Mitzvot is what the Pharisees discovered as they searched through the entire Torah and they found 613 rules and regulations, laws and stipulations, things that they were supposed to do. And much of those 613 rules were about diet, dietary things, and preparing for it. Many of those 613 rules were about what could be and what couldn't. What should be eaten on particular days and what shouldn't be eaten, right? How to prepare and clean the food, how to prepare and clean yourself. And what Jesus teaches is that what comes into us will never make us unclean because it all comes from God's provision. What makes us unclean is what comes out of us. In fact, Jesus makes a poo joke. But what he really is talking about is that our attitudes and our actions, how we treat people, what we call people, these are the things that make us unclean. To see a neighbor need and just pay some lip service to it. To see another person, whether they're like you or completely different from you, and not care when they are in difficulty, those are the things that make us unclean. And so there's one teaching. Jesus takes most of the wind out of the Pharisees' sails, because the Pharisees' attitude towards other people was always connected with their 613 rules and regulations. And Jesus just taught that those rules were largely unnecessary. Now the Pharisees saw those as fighting work, and they began that day to work very hard to see that Jesus was killed. Jesus himself knew that this was a hard truth, but it was a truth that needed to be spoken for all of that crowd. Looking at all our neighbors, as sisters and brothers, as those that we can help, or even those who can help us. That is the foundation of God's kingdom. It's not about feeling superior because I haven't eaten a ham sandwich ever. And this now moves us to the gospel story that I did read. See, Jesus and his disciples are traveling to Jerusalem. From Nazareth in Galilee down to Jerusalem, there's a great big spot in the middle that is Gentile territory. Tyre, Sidon, were an area that didn't have a large Jewish population. And so it's not surprising that they were met there by a Canaanite woman. This woman and her ancestors had been living in this area as long as the Jews had, maybe even. She isn't Jewish, but she's heard of Jesus. Now, maybe she knew someone who was there when Jesus fed those 5,000 people. Maybe she was there, but she knew of Jesus. Jesus' goodness, his care, his love for others. And she had a need. You see, her daughter was possessed. Her daughter was plagued by an evil spirit. Come on. Her daughter was in trouble. And if you're a parent, you know that there is nothing that you won't do to rescue your children from all that ails them. You know that this woman would have gladly traded places with her daughter so that her daughter would be at. So this woman goes. She goes and she finds Jesus, and she starts asking for help. The story, there's an amazing part to it, and the amazing part for me is that Jesus has just been teaching the Pharisees that what we do for others can be important in our lives. Now, these actions aren't for our salvation, but they can lead others to God. They can show others what God's love looks like. So when this woman comes asking Jesus for help, Jesus doesn't respond at all right away. She's crying out for Jesus to help. She's even explaining the difficulty, the reason that brought her there. And Matthew says that Jesus basically ignores her. She keeps following. She keeps pestering the disciples, asking them to get Jesus' attention for her, asking them to help if they can. She didn't give up. She kept at it until the disciples finally go to Jesus and they beg him to respond because they can. Now, I think that this might be Jesus once again trying to invite the disciples to discover how it is that they might be a solution for someone's problem. Just like when he's told the disciples at the feeding, you go ahead and feed everybody. It could have been that Jesus was just, that the disciples would try something. He tells the disciples that his hands are full because he's trying to help the lost sheep of Israel. Can't they try to help this Gentile sister? The disciples decided that they couldn't help, so they turned to Jesus. Just like the woman herself was turning to Jesus. And this woman was crying out. She was crying out just like Peter did last week as he was walking on the lake. Master, help me. She shows the same faith that Peter showed, maybe even more faith. And Jesus begins to talk with this woman, talking about his mission for those lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he says that it's not right to give your children's bread to. Now, I want to confess that I had an amazing insight driving south on 75 in a 26-foot U-Haul truck, pondering, because this comment from Jesus has bothered me for years. Why would Jesus call this woman a dog? And I realized, jostling around at a jaunty 62 miles an hour, that this isn't an insult, it's a metaphor. Jesus isn't calling this woman a dog. He's making a statement. He's like, I have a mission. My ministry is to the Jews. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. Do you really want me to stop what I'm doing so I can stay here and help all of the things that you and your people can eat? Is it good for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs? He wasn't trying to be insulting. He was making an image. And the thing is, this woman doesn't miss a beat. She doesn't disagree, but she comes right back and says that even beggar dogs get the crumbs at the table. And the truth is that this woman was only looking for a crumb. She knows that that would be sufficient to help her daughter. She's not looking for Jesus to change his ministry completely. She's not looking for Jesus to stop on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross and to the empty tomb. But she's looking for help, even just a crumb. That's faith. Because this woman shows that she understood the love of God perhaps better than the disciples did, and definitely better than the Pharisees do. She understood that Jesus was trying to help his fellow Jews, but she also understood that her being a Gentile, that her daughter being a girl, none of that made them unclean. None of that made them unworthy. She only needed a crumb. Jesus has been calling his disciples, "Oh, you of little faith," for a while. In his parables, he taught about faith being like a mustard seed or about yeast, tiny little bits and pieces that still have power to be miraculous in the world around us. This woman knew that. Perhaps she'd heard it, but she knew. She knew that Jesus could help, that God's love could help. She knew that her daughter had, but that hope was only to be found in the love of God. And so Jesus helped. Jesus celebrated her faith and her faithfulness. He was probably around hoping that the disciples would kind of learn from what she was saying. Did you see that? Right? Crumbs are enough. Crumbs can do amazing things. You might be concentrating on trying to help someone or some large group of people, but never be so short-sighted that you fail to grasp the power of some well-placed crumbs. We learned today that too many people throughout history have tried to exert their superiority over others using some criteria or another as a basis for their superiority. Jesus is trying to teach all of us that it is actually those attitudes and the actions that those attitudes lead us to that make us unclean in God's eyes. It's not our diet. It's not where we were born. Is not how much we make, or whether or not any of you are ever going to become fans of the Minnesota Twins. It's love. That's what matters. And sometimes all the love that I have is crumbs. Enough. See, too many people want to think that their efforts are only for those who are closest to them, or for the people who are most like them. The truth is, I can't cure diseases. I can't stop someone from drinking too much. I can't stop someone from taking heroin. I can't stop abuse. Yet I can love. We can love with the love that comes only from God. We can try to be a small part of something that peace and hope and love to those people who need that so desperately. All it takes is crumbs, crumbs of faith, crumbs of love, crumbs that come to us as gifts from God. We're not superheroes, but I can be a crumb catcher. I can be a crumb sharer. And in that way, we can help build the kingdom of God. Amen. In remembrance and in celebration of baptism, let us confess together our faith in God's love using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Even the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrected body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Lord, you gather the church to be part of your mission as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. As Jesus acknowledged the great faith of a woman from outside his people, help your church discover and find blessing in the faith of people we might reject. Lord, in your mercy, you have blessed us with the bounty of the earth. Grant your grace to all your creatures that the earth will flourish. Relieve waters choked by garbage, renew soil stripped of nutrients, and refresh the air that all creatures need to live. Lord, in your mercy, you call the nations to be glad and sing for joy. Let your way be known among all the nations of the world, now divided by competing interests, alliances, and consumed by enormous worry. Bless us and make your face shine upon all. Lord, in your mercy, you show unexpected mercy, kindness, and generosity. We pray for those who do not have enough, for outcasts in our villages, cities, and for those who need your healing. Today we pray especially for Bruce, Gail, Mary, and Thad, and the family of Ben Byler. Lord, in your mercy, in you we live and move and have our being. Grant your congregation, St. John's, grace to find our life refreshed in you. Accompany us in the rhythms of late summer. Give us rest and renewal. Strengthen us for mission in your name. Lord, in your mercy. Your eternal promises are more than we could ever imagine. Gather all the saints, especially we remember before you Ben and Dean. Join us also with them on the great of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're not passing plates because of COVID-19. If you've had an opportunity to drop off your gift, thank you for your generosity. If you haven't yet, you can use this time or as you leave. But we pause now for a moment to reflect on God's generosity and love as we listen to PB&J. Why PB&J? Praise Band and Jesus? There we are. Okay. I've wondered that for a while now, all right? While we listen to PB&J, let us remember the gratitude we hold to God. You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It's right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, our Lord. You have received us as your children, made us citizens of your kingdom, and given us your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Blessed are you, O Lord, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son that all those who believe in him should not perish, have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in this, his holy supper.
Amen.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." again after supper. He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Once again this morning, our Lord Jesus speaks to us three sentences we humans love to hear. I love you. I forgive you. Supper's ready. Come.
That my God would welcome me into this mystery. Say, take this bread, take this wine, now the simple may divine for ready to receive. By your mercy we come to your table, by your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you, and remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We
please rise. As the body and blood of Jesus fills us with strength, it also sends us out in love and service. And so we pray, God of the welcome table, in this meal, we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth, sustained by gifts, so that we may share your neighborly love with all through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. And until we meet again, let us go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
What to say, Lord, it's you gave me life, and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now. That you would save me, Lord, I give all that I am to you. That every day I could be a light that shines your name. Every day, Lord, I learn to stand upon your word, and I pray that I might come to know you more, that you would guide me in every single step I take. That every day I could be your light unto the world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I'll walk with you, my Lord. Every day, Lord, I learn to stand upon your word, and I pray that I might come to know you more, that you would guide me in every single step I take. That every day I could be a light unto the world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you every day.